From the automotive capital of the world, welcome to The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
When I come up to a stop, if I use a brake and stop, then when I let off the brake to go, it jerks.
Problems with your car, truck, motorcycle, minivan, or RV? The solution is just a phone call away. 1-800-859-0957. That's 1-800-859-0957.
I put new front rotors, and when I turn left or right with my foot on the brake, I get a pulsation of the ABS.
And remember, The Car Show is designed for everyone, whether you do your own work, take your car to the dealership, or to the independent service center of your choice.
When it's cold and I start to move, it like the transmission slips and then it catches. What's the answer for that, guys?
Your calls and more when The Car Show returns.
Materials in vehicle batteries are the most recycled consumer product in the world, more than glass bottles, newspapers, even aluminum cans. Recycling your vehicle's battery is easy. You just drop it off at your local retailer. They'll do the rest. Most vehicle battery retailers will grant you a credit for your old battery, even if you don't purchase a new one. The newly redesigned AutoBatteries.com features a where to buy and recycle tool that'll help you find the closest available retailer right there at AutoBatteries.com. Today's diesel fuel lacks lubricity. This can lead to fuel system failure, costing thousands in repairs. You can prevent these issues with Hotshot Secret products. Clean injectors, boost cetane, increase fuel economy, all while adding 4 times more lubricity than the leading competitor. Claims proven by real-world use and confirmed by third-party ASTM testing. Hotshot Secret EDT. It's available nationwide at truck stops, farm and automotive stores, and online at hotshotsecret.com.
Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It is. Remember, we tape every Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You can call us 866-365-7746. If I'm saying it too fast, you go to thecarshow.com. It's right there on the front page. Very easy to find. It's our email, our call-in times, when we're here live, our voicemail. So you can leave us a voicemail if you want to. We'll play it on the air and answer your question. We're easy to get a hold of. We don't hide well. Dan doesn't hide too good, and I'm too big to hide, so that's how it works here.
Well, sometimes, you know, and we're talking about hiding things. That reminds me of some of the emails we get where people are neglecting your year, make, and model of a vehicle. You know, that's kind of difficult to diagnose a problem if we don't know what we're...
Right, if you don't know what kind of car it is to start with.
Yes.
Year, make, model, mileage, and as much detail as you can get us. And Dan can help you. But if you don't know what kind of car it is, you know, he doesn't know how to help you.
Well, but you can.
I'm happy. Here's my advice to everybody with car trouble. Get another car.
That's what I do.
I'm having trouble with this car. What are we going to do? Get another car. I'm out. When you have as much money as me, Dan. I'll just pull another one out of the garage.
So that's how you, I was wondering how you do that.
My 14-car garage, which one should I take today? It's like wearing different shoes. I love people like that. It's like, how many cars do you have? One. That's all I can drive at a time.
Well, but Brian, I thought you said that you can't park a car in your garage. Come on now.
I can't. There's too much junk in there. It's on my list. Clean the garage so I can park indoors for the wintertime, which I have. We've lived in this house probably 15 years. I have not once parked in the garage.
Well, I believe that.
And it seems sad to me. It really does. Like, you should clean that out. It's like, somebody should clean that out. It feels like that should be somebody's job. I'm not sure whose. And everybody points at me. It's like, more jobs. I've got an email. We do have an email here. The email address is thecarshowdetroit@gmail.com. Remember, year, make, model, mileage, and as much detail. This person has a 2016 Mazda CX-3. They don't mention mileage. But he says he got his oil changed about a year ago. And they checked the transmission fluid, but they didn't close the case. And they said it's a dipstick that closes with a bolt. And they didn't bolt it back down.
He said he noticed sludge on the transmission, wiped it off, and wasn't thinking much of it, just closed it back up. So when it got warm outside recently, he said it was like my car barely wanted to move while it was warm, and he could smell a burning smell. He did a quick Google search, and it told him the fluid was bad, so he went and got the fluid changed. He said he read that they change about 40 to 60% of the fluid. He said while the problem has mostly resolved, it still has a few issues. So he's wondering if he should let the new fluid just keep working and do its thing, or if he should try changing the fluid again at some point, and if so, how long would you wait?
Right. Well, you know, just like anything, we talk about doing this type of service and doing it as like a transfusion.
Yeah.
Whatever they drain out, which is not going to be a lot, it's going to be maybe at least half, you're going to want to replace with the new recommended fluid. And then, you know, give it a little bit of time, maybe put 500 miles on it, and then do it again. But the second time around, what I would do is I would use an automatic transmission protectant and cleaner.
Okay.
Hot Shot Secret has a product that is called Shift Restore. And what that's going to do, it's going to take care of the oil that hasn't been changed, but it also is going to be a cleaner. And, you know, this cleaner, it's going to do, it's going to eliminate the rust and corrosion, and it's going to reduce friction and reduces operating temperatures, but that will do it. And why you want a cleaner is if it has not been addressed or changed, over time, this cleaner and the fresh fluid will slowly put it back to where it needs to be. But I would do this sooner than later. And sadly enough, we always forget about things, Brian, and, you know, like changing our transmission fluid, or simple things like cabin air filters that are forgotten about, or the age of your battery. So, you know, again, it's preventative maintenance. And, you know, and I know a lot of people rely on, if they take their vehicle into, we'll say, an oil change place, for an example, that specializes in that, it's never brought up, where a lot of the, you know, good shops, I don't want to say good, but a lot of the shops out there will have a maintenance thing on their computer, where it'll show, you know, what's due at so many miles. And if, you know, if we have a service technician that would come up to you, for an example, and say, Brian, you know, according to your mileage, you should have your transmission fluid serviced or changed. And you would say, oh, well, I did that last year. You know, so because they really don't know, because a lot of these applications are sealed transmission. There's really no way to check the level itself unless, you know, you're a professional and you can do it on a lift and do it that way. So always go by your driving habits too. Sometimes the manufacturer may recommend 100,000 miles. Well, that's fine if you're doing 10 or 12,000 miles a year. But what about that person that only puts on 4,000 or 5,000 miles a year? That's considered to be severe driving. So, you know, you want to look at all that. It all is based back on preventative maintenance.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like if you're driving it a lot, it would be severe driving. And that's, I think most people, you don't think, it's not intuitive to think, oh, well, I only drive 4,000 miles a year. That's not severe driving. Severe driving is that truck driver who's doing, you know, 40,000 miles a week, you know.
Right.
So it's not logical. So a lot of people, I don't think, just automatically think that that's severe driving, when it is. It's harder on the engine.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I got a couple more questions for you, Dan, like I always do. And we got a couple more emails, so. You hang around for the rest of the show?
Well, I'll try to.
We'll be right back. This is The Car Show. Is your vehicle feeling a little sluggish? Well, you may have a dirty mass airflow sensor. The MAF sensor measures the amount and flow of air entering your engine, as well as the engine airflow, and it regulates the fuel-to-air ratio. A dirty MAF sensor can rob your vehicle of horsepower, torque, even fuel economy. CRC Mass Airflow Sensor Cleaner quickly removes harmful dirt, oil, and residue that interferes with your engine's air-fuel mixture. It helps restore lost power, boost acceleration, and improve your MPG. Drive to crcindustries.com for more information. It's time to go in the shop courtesy of Advance Auto Parts. This week, a customer brought in his Ford F-150. Night driving had become kind of a gamble. One headlight was out and the other was dangerously dim. For an early morning commuter, visibility isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. The bulbs had simply reached the end of the road. But there's the thing. Today's high-intensity lighting needs more than just a swap. To ensure they stay bright, you need a professional, clean connection. We turned to Advance Auto Parts. In minutes, we matched his truck with premium replacement bulbs and a packet of bulb grease. This dielectric grease is the secret to a long-lasting job. It seals out moisture and prevents the corrosion that can melt expensive connectors. Advance delivered the parts in under an hour. We applied the grease, swapped the bulbs, and had him back on the road with crisp, clear vision. With more than 4,000 stores, Advance Auto Parts is ready to help with all your car care needs. You can learn more right there at AdvanceAutoParts.com. Today's diesel fuel lacks lubricity. This can lead to fuel system failure, costing thousands in repairs. You can prevent these issues with Hotshot Secret products. Clean injectors, boost cetane, increase fuel economy, all while adding 4 times more lubricity than the leading competitor. Claims proven by real-world use and confirmed by third-party ASTM testing. Hotshot Secret EDT. It's available nationwide at truck stops, farm and automotive stores, and online at hotshotsecret.com.
To The Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Want to remind everybody we're brought to you in part by Peak. With 3 premium options, Peak Power Vision Lighting is engineered to increase light output, producing Peak's best nighttime illumination yet. You can learn more about all of that over at peakauto.com. We were just talking, Dan, about maintenance and being reminded of things, and I feel like, and this, I've been going to the same oil change place, 1, 2, 3, at least 4 cars now. I've taken my car to this same place because they're reliable. I can depend on them. They do good work, and they're not trying to upsell me all the time. The last time I went in with my old car, it was you're overdue for a transmission fluid change. And I said, oh, well, then let's do it. Drained it, showed me how much they took out, showed me how much, And I think it's important to, with a technician or an oil shop or anybody, if you find somebody that's reliable and does really good work, go back to them. And they can help you with these little reminders, right?
Oh, yes, always. That's why you want to favor one place. So many people will, don't get me wrong, they'll maintain their vehicle.
Yeah.
But they jump around. Oh, this place, oil changes are on sale.
This place is closer right now. Sure.
Right. Or they could be a do-it-yourselfer and change their own oil.
Right.
Depending on weather. I know people that do that, but yes, oh, okay. Always. If you can find a place that's reliable and do just more of the recommendations about changing your oil or your air filter or cabin air filter, you want a shop that's a little bit more diversified that can make other recommendations or yes. Have the qualifications. I know a lot of these quick change places you drive in and you're on a pit.
Yeah.
Where if you go to another type of shop, what they'll have is they will have a lift that contacts the frame of the car, and they'll be able, while the oil's draining, they'll look up underneath the car and they'll wiggle the wheels and they'll look for any type of leaks. And that's the advantage of that too. But it all depends. Some people, like you, Brian, they change cars every 3 years. That's not necessary. You know, when that warranty's up, it's time to buy a new one. So,
yeah. Well, I feel like it's important to tell people because I know people that do that too. They do wherever it's on sale or wherever it's closest or wherever, I'm out and I thought about it and there's one right there, I'll go there. But if you go to the same one over and over, they'll have records, of what kind of oil you've used in the past and what other services have been done. And they'll remind you, the one I go to, they check my air filter every time I'm there. And then he'll remind me, you should check your cabin air filter too. We don't do that, but don't forget to do that. When they check the air filter under the hood. And I think that to me, that's invaluable because I'm the why to today, what I could put off until tomorrow kind of guy.
Oh, right. It, you know, a lot of these things too, and you look at it this way, and it's important that you know, especially like with cabin air filters, some of them are very difficult to change. Some are easy. So, you know, I always look at the point, if it's going to take 15 minutes to take it apart, you might as well put a new one in.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. If you got to do that to check it anyway, you might as well have a new one ready to go.
Right.
We got a call. Let's go to Steve. Steve's got a 98 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo. Sorry, Steve, my tongue got in the way of my eye teeth. I couldn't see what I was saying there. How many miles on the Jeep?
314,000.
And you're having some stalling issues?
Well, I have a starting problem. It when it does start, it runs rough. And the things that I've done to this, it's also stalling. It's been running about 400 RPM. And I had the plugs, wires, distributor cap, rotor changed, put new injectors in it, cleaned the throttle body and the mass airflow sensor. It's been increasingly getting harder to start, so I listened to your show faithfully.
Well, thank you.
Went to the turning on the ignition and then shutting it off, turning it on, turning it off. Third time it'll start, but it starts really rough, like 2-3 cylinders. After about 20 seconds, it smooths out, starts running fine, runs fine. But now it is starting to stall out, running low RPM. And there's also, if you park it, go in a store for about 20 minutes. When I come out, starts fine. When you jump on the gas to pull out, it backfires briefly, then it runs fine. Help.
Okay. So Steve, are you a do-it-yourselfer? Do you do a lot of this work yourself?
I used to. I'm getting up in the years. I have a good mechanic now.
Okay. Has he done a fuel pressure volume and test, pressure and volume test on the vehicle?
No, and I called him yesterday and said, just go ahead and change it. I looked up, the previous owner kept records, and there was no mention of a fuel pump. And so we're going there, and I'm hoping that's going to solve some of these problems.
Okay, so you did not replace the fuel filter yet. The fuel pump.
No.
Okay, got it. So that's a starting point, but you know, you look at it this way: fuel pumps, every time the engine's running, so is that fuel pump. Okay, and they can wear out over time, and like you stated earlier, you have to turn the key on, off, on third time it starts. That's an indication that the check valve and the fuel pump could be bad and it's draining back to the tank. Now, another issue that's a concern too, with problems that come and go, a timing chain deflection test. Keep in mind that you could have a stretched timing chain, and if that's the case, you know, it's going to have a low running idle. You're going to have all kinds of problems. And that's a simple test to do, because all you do is you're going to take and rotate the crankshaft a little bit. You're going to, of course, the engine's not running when you do this. You're going to take and you're going to rotate the crankshaft and make a reference point, whether it has a timing mark there or not. Mark it with chalk, and then what you're going to do is you're going to have two people here, and then you're going to have someone look at the top and then go the other way, go counterclockwise then, and see how much deflection's there. If you have an inch and a half of deflection, that's going to create all kinds of problem with runability and drivability. So these are the two issues. But before you even start, you know, chasing a ghost, I would highly recommend do that fuel pump volume and pressure test. That's important because if he can get, we'll say for an example, if it's 40 pounds and having the pump run for 15 seconds and it draws out a quart of fluid, you know, why spend money you don't have to at this time? We want to get to the root cause of the problem. I know it has a lot of miles, but you know, I've seen some of them vehicles that have 500,000 miles on them and they're still running with the proper preventative maintenance. But two concerns, do that test first because it's cheap. In fact, that's why I asked if you're a handy guy. Advanced Auto Parts has a program where you can actually get a fuel pressure gauge and volume test kit. You put a deposit down, it's not going to cost you any money, and you can do that procedure on your own. Very simple. The engine doesn't even have to be running because all you're doing is you're turning the key on. And, you'll look at the pressure gauge and see what the pressure is. And then, of course, turn the key on and off, open the valve up and have the gasoline drain into a container and see how much volume is there. So, you know, I think it's going to probably be one of the two items right there or a combination of both.
Very good. Thanks for your help.
Thank you, Steve. Let us know what happens, okay?
Will do.
Thank you.
Thanks for your
Thank you. We'll be back after this. This is The Car Show. Brake operation is a vital part of vehicle safety. It's important to properly maintain your vehicle's brakes and, when appropriate, repair and replace select brake components. Today we're going to look at the importance of cleaning and lubricating brake caliper slide pins and bushings, courtesy of CRC Brake Clean, the industry-leading brake cleaner. Brake calipers need free movement to float and maintain its position as it holds the pads over the rotor. If the caliper sticks or drags, brake performance, vehicle stability, and brake pad life will all be affected. There are specific points where CRC brake caliper synthetic grease should be applied during a brake repair. Slide pins and bushings vary, but they're all designed to allow free and proper caliper movement. Always innovating to provide products with a competitive edge, CRC Industries is proud to offer non-chlorinated brake clean for your brake cleaning needs. Featuring a powerful formula that cleans and dries faster than ever, non-chlorinated brake clean requires less product to remove dirt and grime from brake system components. You can learn more about brake clean and other automotive solutions right there at crcindustries.com.
Car Show continues with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
It does. Remember, if you want to get a hold of us, just like Steve did, every Thursday, 10 a.m., Dan and I are sitting right here waiting for your call. 866-365-7746. Very easy. You heard how nice we were to Steve. We'll be just that nice, maybe nicer to you. It just depends on how Dan's feeling and, you know, if there's good snacks in the room with me.
Well, it's not so much the snacks, Brian. You know what it is. It's where they change, though, is when you start asking for their credit card number.
Everybody gets a little prickly when I start asking for money. I don't know why. This isn't free. Dan's got to get paid.
Yep.
I want to remind everybody really quickly here that we're brought to you in part by K-Seal, the global leader in coolant leak repair. Fixing a coolant leak doesn't have to be complicated. K-Seal is a one-step coolant leak repair for everyday leaks. No draining the system and no flushing, no antifreeze worries, just shake, pour, and go. You can learn more about that right there at kseal.com. What's been going on this week with you, Dan, in the shop? Anything good or bad?
Well, you know, I don't like to get into the complicated areas, you know, where I know sometimes if it gets too technical, I see your eyes glaze over and you start falling asleep. So, you know, I like to do the simple things and basic things.
I'm a simple guy. I like simple things. Yeah,
but mainly for our listeners. So, you know, I had a customer bring a vehicle in. It was a 2016 Dodge Durango, had a 3.6 liter engine. And his complaint was, and there was no check engine light illuminated, but he said that it would have a tip-in hesitation, sometimes a rough idle, and it would come and go. And that was a strange thing. And sometimes when we have these intermittent problems, they're hard to find. So naturally, I did a whole system scan with my test equipment. And what I came across is that he did have a service code pertaining to the variable valve timing solenoid, which on this vehicle, it has two. What I found out, this was on Bank One, is that it did set that code, but again, I cleared it out and it didn't come back. So I said, well, I spoke with the customer. I said, let's do this. We'll take a chance. Mm-hmm. Let's replace the variable valve time solenoid. Now, we have to remember this is an electrical component and a mechanical component. I said, maybe it's heat related. I don't know. So naturally, I do my regular thing. I made a phone call to Advance Auto Parts, mm-hmm. Asked them what, told them what I need, told them I needed a variable valve timing solenoid. And they said, well, today's your lucky day because we do have it in stock, which I always like when it's in stock. And the best part about it, that didn't make me make a phone call to the dealer. They had a Dorman OE fix replacement solenoid that was shipped over to me. Simple thing to change because it's right on the front of the engine. And, installed that part, made sure the trouble codes were cleared out of the system. And apparently, billed the customer, and it's been, 4 days now, 5 days now. He didn't call me back, so I believe it's fixed.
That's your theory. No news is good news.
Right. And that's why sometimes I want to let our listeners know that if, a shop's making a recommendation and, it's an intermittent problem like that, you guarantee that it's going to work, but on intermittent things, you have to have a baseline and a starting point.
Right.
And, naturally you look at wiring and things like that. And, that wasn't the case. I mean, it was low mileage. It only had 60,000 miles on it, but keep in mind, a lot of these products get destroyed because of lack of oil change services. It had an internal blockage and electrical things. Very difficult to change. And it was not an expensive item. So go ahead and do it. And all I know is he must be happy, or he's mad. It didn't fix it. And he took it somewhere else. I have no idea. But again, it's.
Yeah, usually mad is when you hear from them. Happy, you don't.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But you're right. If it's an intermittent problem and you're taking it to a technician, then. If it doesn't do it for them, they have no way to know what's going on. So they got to set a baseline to know, what's normal before we can decide what's abnormal, right?
Right, right. And what I do, anytime I replace any type of electrical components, mm-hmm. in fact, we talked about this last week, and it's a relatively newer product for CRC. CRC's been around forever, especially with their brake cleaners. They've been around for 50 years. They had the green can and the red can, and yep. I always wash that area off so there's less of a chance of getting any dirt or grease or debris into that area when you pull that out. You don't want any of that to going into the engine. So I bought a case of their CRC foaming brake wash, which I like that. In fact, I really like it because when you spray it on, it stays there a little bit longer. And then wash it off, leave it on there. And then I finished it off with a can of the red CRC cleaner, and it was perfectly clean. And then that way, I changed the component, but great product, the foaming cleaner from CRC, the brake cleaner, which, you could use it for anything, that yeah. has grease on it. And it's great, great product. I wish they would have had that a lot sooner.
Well, you must like it. You bought a case.
Well, always. Well, you have to in case I drop one. You got to have extra cans.
Yeah, I don't know where I left it. I'll get a new one. I'm always misplacing things around my house.
I have the same problem. But even in the shop, when you have technicians, you turn your back and the other guy will grab the can. Well, where did that go?
I don't know, boss.
Yeah, where
suddenly,
did it go?
Suddenly my toolbox is full, but I don't know where it went.
Well, there it is in the bottom drawer.
There you go. I got another email here. This person has a 2021 Chevy Tahoe 5.3 liter V8. They said there's been a strong smell of exhaust fumes in the cabin when the heater's on. When the AC's on, the smell's not there. So he's taken it to several mechanics who claim not to experience this odor. Speaking of intermittent, he says he's done a little research to see what the root cause could be. And online it says either an exhaust manifold or an air intake or perhaps a loose duct clamp. He goes, here are any possibilities or am I way off base? Here's a few other notes based on his experience. He said the odor happens when the heater's on. Odor is stronger when it's idling, like at a stopper in a driveway. It seems to go away after the car's warmed up a bit. Seems to be less when he's in motion. He's changed the engine and the cabin air filters a couple of times since this. He said there's been no modifications to the vehicle, but he purchased it used, so he's not sure about damage. He's taken it to three mechanics in the dealership. None of them can smell this odor when they have it.
Well, that's because what kind of test they did. They did the sniff test.
Yeah.
Okay. And what I, this is a shop's best friend. It's a smoke machine. And this machine uses a low compressed air. And it has a, I use a mineral oil inside of the machine. And what it'll do after it's plugged in and hooked up, it produces a little bit of pressurized smoke. So what I would do is I would smoke test the intake system, give it a little bit of time. This is doing one in the shop. In fact, I've done one last week. Customer had the same complaint. Mm-hmm. And what it'll do is if there's, you've heard the phrase where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah.
Same thing, where there's smoke, there's your leak.
Oh.
And on this vehicle, it was a 2016, it was a Silverado. It turned out to be that the O-ring for the oil cap was missing.
Oh.
And when we're dealing with, with crankcase pressures and, we have a recirculation system that doesn't let any of that go to atmosphere. So, it could be something as simple as that, but the best way to do it, he needs to go to the shop, find out if they do have a smoke machine and have that smoke tested, have the crankcase smoke tested. And on the other issue too, also look for oil leaks. There's a possibility that he could have a valve cover gasket that's leaking and it's going down onto the exhaust manifold and it's burning off in that way. And the reason why the odor is stronger when he's not moving is because you don't have the airflow going by it. And the reason why you smell it, when you have the defroster on or heater on, because you have an air intake that's right in the back side of that. So it will be stronger. And of course, like you said, it dissipates as he drives, of course, because of the driving down the road, the force of the air pushes that odor away. So something simple. And, I know he said he looked at things too. It could be something as simple as that. There's a, we'll say for an example, the air cleaner assembly wasn't attached down properly. But again, the only way you're going to find this is doing a smoke test.
No, and that seems like it would be a pretty easy thing to do. I'm surprised that three mechanics and a dealer, nobody's done that.
Well, that's true. And maybe, they're trying to be cost effective and they're looking for the most obvious.
Yeah.
And I always do it. First thing I do is a visual inspection. Sometimes I say, oh, look at that. It's not plugged in all the way. Maybe one of the emission control tubes isn't plugged in, but
yeah,
and it could be something simple. Pay the time to have it smoke tested and get that problem repaired.
That will solve the problem. Look at that. Easy, cheap, quick.
Yes.
Just like us, Dan.
Yes, I know. We're free.
That's true. We are free here at the E-Car Show. Today's diesel fuel lacks lubricity. This can lead to fuel system failure, costing thousands in repairs. You can prevent these issues with Hotshot Secret products. Clean injectors, boost cetane, increase fuel economy, all while adding 4 times more lubricity than the leading competitor. Claims proven by real-world use and confirmed by third-party ASTM testing. Hotshot Secret EDT. It's available nationwide at truck stops, farm and automotive stores, and online at hotshotsecret.com. Materials in vehicle batteries are the most recycled consumer product in the world, more than glass bottles, newspapers, even aluminum cans. Recycling your vehicle's battery is easy. You just drop it off at your local retailer. They'll do the rest. Most vehicle battery retailers will grant you a credit for your old battery, even if you don't purchase a new one. The newly redesigned AutoBatteries.com features a where to buy and recycle tool that'll help you find the closest available retailer right there at AutoBatteries.com.
Car Show with Dan Petras and Brian Morton.
Remember, we're easy to get a hold of. We're here every Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. You can call us 866-365-7746. You want to get a hold of us and we're not here. It's not a Thursday. It's not 10 a.m. Eastern. Go to thecarshow.com. Our email's there. Our voicemail's there. Everything's there. It's very easy to get a hold of us. We're very easy to get a hold of. We're not hiding anywhere. Well, sometimes I hide. Dan never hides.
Well, to make sure you display your cell phone number, call anytime, Brian.
Call my beeper, call my pager. I'm right here.
Everything, yes.
Has anything else been going on in the shop for you this week, Dan?
Well, I'm going to mention the simple things, and there has been, more and more people are keeping their vehicles longer. And I had a customer come in with a new customer, in fact, with a 2016 Chevy truck. And this, actually, it was a GMC Yukon, 205,000 miles, great shape for the age. And he was complaining about a noise when the air conditioner was turned on. And naturally, of course, turning on the air and taking a look at it, I noticed that with the engine running, that the serpentine belt tensioner was really moving up and down, up and down. And these belt tensioners have a very strong spring in them. And you think about it a little bit over time, 10 years old, all them miles and the rotations and the tension on it, it turned out to be that the spring was weak in the tensioner. How do I know that? Because when I put my tool onto it and to check a little bit of the tension to take the serpentine belt off to inspect it, it came off very easily. So I recommended to the customer, let's go ahead and looking at the belts, on this truck, there's three belts there. There's, an AC belt and the alternator belt. Okay. And so let's, because of miles, let's do the whole thing. And he agreed on that. So, I made a phone call to Advance Auto Parts and told him what I needed. And he goes, well, I think the parts guy made mention. He said, hey, I think your best bet here, it's less money. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go with the Daco serpentine belt kit and serpentine tensioner kit, all four items. It's about 10% less money. I said, well, that sounds good. And besides that, I know I'm getting the right stuff for it.
Right.
So I replaced, all three belts, and I made sure anytime you change a serpentine belt, you want to make sure that the grooves are clean, because you can have over time, especially with a loose tensioner, you can have rubber transfer that's from the belt going into the groove. So you want to make sure these grooves are clean, because if not, what can happen is that even though you replace the belt, you may end up with a little bit of noise there. Luckily, his were pretty well clean. I had to take a pick tool and clean out a specific area. So you really got to rotate all the pulleys, and cleaned it up, put the new parts back on, and noise was gone when you turn the AC on. And the good thing about it, what's nice about it, is there's a free year, replacement guarantee. That's only if it's defective. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
They're not going to cover it because of wear. Great thing. I love the idea that Daco offers this in a kit. So if it's not just for that 2016 Yukon, it's probably available for a lot more cars out there. But always remember, too, you've got a bunch of miles on your vehicle. When you do change the serpentine belts, I would recommend that you also change the serpentine belt tensioner at the same time.
Yeah, as long as you're in there working on it, might as well make the repair correct.
Well, it's maintenance. Right, because what you don't want to have is have that tensioner get weak and destroy the new belts you just put on.
Yeah,
so
yeah, good point. Because I don't think the warranty will cover that.
No. If you not for neglect.
You're exactly. If you're not doing it the right way, then I can't imagine them. But you're right. Saving even 10%, especially with some parts, and I haven't looked at the price on the Daco parts. I can't imagine they're wildly expensive, but 10% is 10% no matter what it is. Well, if somebody's going to knock 10% off your bill anywhere, you're not going to say no.
Right. Well, this kit was $232. So 10% is, it's a little bit of money.
Yeah.
So
exactly. And any, to me, I don't walk past a nickel on the street. You stop and pick it up, that's money. So if I'm going to save even 10%, do it the right way, get the right parts, get a and you're getting a quality part. why wouldn't you? I mean,
well, and you also think, just like a lot of the aftermarket, Dayco's been around forever. And you think about it too, what they do, just like Dorman, you know, Dorman mentions their OE fix. You're going to find out with the Dayco parts that it's equal or better than what was on the vehicle. And I know over time, if there's been specific problems, Dayco does improve their product with their tensioners. And, you know, that tensioner alone, keep in mind too, not only, you know, does it tension the belts, but there's also another pulley on that. So if you break down all the components that were there, buying the kit is the way to go.
Absolutely. And why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Cost-wise.
Got one more email here real quickly, Dan. It's a 2010 Subaru Outback Limited. He said he always engages the parking brake when he's parked, and it usually makes a noticeable mechanical noise when they push the button to engage it. It's still making a noise, they said, but it's very faint, and the brake light has begun flashing. He goes, is this telling me that the parking brake is no longer functioning? And if so, is it safe to drive this until I can have it properly diagnosed and fixed? He says, also, I have a rear brake light out, which occurred before the light, and I'm skeptical that the two are related.
Right, which is true. I also agree with that. But
yeah.
But here's what happens. Since they frequently use that, it's an electronic parking brake.
Yep.
What can happen? Two things. Number one, he could have the brake pads in the rear that are worn, and it has an extended amount of travel. That's the first thing. The second thing is, because of use, the actual caliper assembly where the actuator is built into it, the electric motor part of it, that could be failing due to the fact, because, you know, most people, when they set a parking brake, it may be once a week, twice a week, or some people never.
Right.
You know, but if you're on a incline on a driveway or a street, you want to use it all the time, and mechanical components can wear out over that amount of time. So I would say, is it safe to drive? Yes. Is there a possibility that the parking brake may not engage, or actually it is engaged, but it's probably not, the pads aren't being pushed up tight up against the rotor. So, you know, you can set it, but it may roll. So yes, it is safe to drive. But again, most likely you're going to find out that the brake lining should be replaced, along with the if the service technician makes a determination when it comes time to retract that piston back into the caliper, because it's a left-hand screw, they'll know if it's worn out. And they may start off with replacing the brake linings first, the pads, doing a proper brake job, and replacing what's needed, and cleaning and lubricating, and they may find out that it doesn't need that actuator. Replace that assembly, that caliper assembly, and put them back on the road.
Now, if you're, I don't really park on an incline. My driveway's not that big of an incline. I can't even remember the last time I've used my parking brake. Is that something you should use regularly just to keep it working?
Yeah, you should. Well, in the old days when they were mechanical cables, if you didn't use them, the rust.
Yeah,
and whatever would seize up, and
you'd pull that lever and it would snap. Yes,
I don't know how many times I've seen customers that would have a 10-year-old vehicle with a bunch of miles on it that was like in our region, which a lot of the road salts.
Right.
And what would happen is they would have a new driver or maybe a neighbor move their car, and they decided to set the parking brake. So they set the brake, and then when the owner tries to release it, the car is not moving. That's because everything was seized up. So, yeah, set it once a week, regardless if it's actuated by cables or if it's electronically controlled parking brake.
It's good to know. I mean, I very rarely set it, and it's something you don't think about, because if you're not on a hill, I don't think about it.
That's true.
It's good. So it's good to know. But once a week, just set it, go in your house, then come back, unset it.
The next morning.
Yeah. It's time to go in the shop courtesy of Advance Auto Parts. This week, a customer brought in his Ford F-150.
Night driving had become kind of a gamble. One headlight was out and the other was dangerously dim. For an early morning commuter, visibility isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. The bulbs had simply reached the end of the road. But there's the thing. Today's high-intensity lighting needs more than just a swap. To ensure they stay bright, you need a professional, clean connection. We turned to Advance Auto Parts. In minutes, we matched his truck with premium replacement bulbs and a packet of bulb grease. This dielectric grease is the secret to a long-lasting job. It seals out moisture and prevents the corrosion that can melt expensive connectors. Advance delivered the parts in under an hour. We applied the grease, swapped the bulbs, and had him back on the road with crisp, clear vision. With more than 4,000 stores, Advance Auto Parts is ready to help with all your car care needs. You can learn more right there at advanceautoparts.com.